going to be talking about your potential this morning. But the scripture for the month that we've been standing on is Philippians 4:12. Each month we have a different scripture for 12 scriptures for the whole year. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 through 13 is this month of June. It says, Paul said this to the Philippians. He says, I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. And I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare or going without and being in want. I have strength for all things. This is the secret. I have strength for all things in who empowers strength into me, and I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Basically, Paul was saying this. It doesn't matter what the world throws at me, I'm going to overcome it. I can get through it no matter what is thrown at me. And I spoke with someone this week. They were talking about the end times, wanting to know what I thought about the end times and if we're going to go through the tribulation of all this, you know. And this is the bottom line. This is what I told him. I said, you know, the Bible says that the Old Testament was written for our example. And so I've read about the story of the children of Israel being in Egypt, you know, when they were there in bondage, but they were in the land of Goshen. If you look up in an old map in biblical times, Goshen is inside of Egypt. So when all of those plagues were happening to Egypt, Goshen was just fine. Even when it was pitch black dark in Egypt, couldn't see your hand in front of your face, if you step into Goshen, the sun was shining. So I just feel like the Lord's saying to all of us, you know what? Doesn't matter how dark America gets, how this world gets, doesn't matter if AI tries to take over and we have robots trying to take over. Okay, if you're not read up about that, then I could see some of you just like gloss over your face. But anyway, you know, people are concerned about AI, concerned about everything going on. But this is what I know, what the Bible says. No matter how black or how dark or how difficult or how sinful or whatever happens, the church is going to be just fine. The church is going to be just fine because we are the people in the land of Goshen, free from the curse, free from what's going on. But let me just say this. When Janet was speaking, you need to make sure that you speak to your emotions. How many were here last week? You know, I spoke on healing during the whole communion service. So we had communion for the whole service last week. So if you weren't here, you probably should listen to that, because this, you have to get bulldog tenacity, slap you upside the head determination inside of you when it concerns really three areas, but two areas in particular is your healing, health, and your finances. The enemy's just not going to go, oh, is that what you're believing? Oh, okay. Oh, you're believing for a healing? I don't know how many times I have received healing, and then a few days later, that attack come right back. And then a couple of days later, it come back and come back and kept coming back. Listen, that's when you have to stand. The Bible says when you've done all, you keep standing. So in other words, that's not the time, you know, okay, I'm just going to sit and relax. No, 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 no. That's the time you get up and go, I can outlast you, devil. I can outlast you. But you know why? Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. You have patience. The devil does not. He does not have patience. You do. So you can outlast him. But you have to be determined. I'm not giving up on it. And listen, don't say, oh, I lost. And I've heard people say this. Oh, I lost my healing. It's really hard to lose something that's automatically inside of you 24/7. Oh, I just lost my joy. I just lost my patience. No, it's all of that is inside of you. Don't let the enemy Listen to me. Don't let the enemy deceive you to say you lost something or you need to get faith to get a hold of something. It is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. And he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you, so you will know what that means. Healing will never leave you nor forsake you. Prosperity will never leave you or forsake you. Joy, peace, faith, the patience of God will never leave you nor forsake you. So you haven't lost it. You just need to make sure you lay hold of it. For today's message. Matthew chapter 28. I want to say this. This goes right along with it. This is really not part of my message, but Matthew chapter 28, 16 and 17. This is what I just want us to be aware of. Listen to this. This is a Passion Translation. It says, meanwhile, let me just give you a little background. This is when Jesus was raised from the dead. He has been risen, all right? And so he goes to see his disciples. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples heard the wonderful news from the women and left for Galilee. He told them, he said, tell my disciples they're going to meet him in Galilee. So to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. Verse 17, the moment they saw him, the moment the disciples saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but look at that. Some still had lingering doubts. Some still doubted, even though in the natural, because this is one thing. Jesus was not in his physical body. He was in his resurrected body, which meant that it was a spiritual, it was a physical body, but it was a resurrected spiritual body that could be felt and touched and seen. But this is what I want us to know. When it comes, listen to me, when it comes to the supernatural, your physical senses have a hard time getting a hold of that. Even if you see it, you could see. I mean, they saw Jesus, and they had a hard time, and some even doubted. You know, people says, well, if I could see it, I would get. No, 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 no. You would probably have to deal with some doubts. You see somebody healed. Are they really then? Maybe it's just a freak. Your brain goes to the realm of reasoning every time. Your brain will automatically go to the realm of reasoning every time and say, okay, how can I logically figure this out? When it comes to the supernatural, that's when you need to bypass your reasoning, because in the supernatural, it just says, it doesn't make sense. But you can miss God. You can miss your blessing. You can miss the supernatural if you stay in the realm of reasoning. I remember Brother Hagin said this to us in the 80s. He said, if you live in the realm of reasoning, the devil will whip you every time. Because that's his domain, his reasoning. Oh, that doesn't make sense. I don't know if I can really believe that. It says they saw him, they worshiped him, but some had lingering doubts. I mean, they lived with the guy for 3 years. Gave up all and followed him for 3 years. And then they turn around and go, I don't know. He told them several times, I'm going to be raised from the dead. It's amazing that the Pharisees and Sadducees believed more than Jesus. They said, we need to make sure he told everybody that he was going to be raised from the dead in 3 days. They were proclaiming that, and they said, make sure you put a guard on the tomb so nobody, in case somebody steals his body, because that's what he said. So obviously everybody was hearing the message that he was going to be raised from the dead, and then his disciples go, I don't know. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Listen, when it comes to potential, what's inside of you, releasing what's inside of you, the potential. We have to get determined. We have to get determined. There's greater things inside of you than what any of us have experienced. It's in us. There's giftings, there's talents, there's abilities, there's anointing. That isn't, you know, I hear people say, well, I'm just, pray for me that I'll get a double portion of his anointing. Do you really need a double portion of Jesus? Let me just go there. If Jesus isn't enough, there's something wrong with your thinking. Are you hearing me? There's something wrong with your thinking. Jesus is enough. It's not Jesus plus anything else. It's just Jesus and him alone. Daniel 11:32. I just felt like the Lord spoke, this is a key to potential. You go, Daniel 11:32. The last part of that says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. Great exploits. From what? From knowing their God. If you want to rise up in your potential, whatever you are doing, there's a greater ability inside of you. When the more that you know your God, the more that you know your Father, it says, then they can do great exploits. So you can do greater things, and it can be multiplied. You know, God is a multiplier. But in your mind, if you don't understand this, you know, I love math. I just love it. When I was in school, I did great in math. English, not so much. Made D's in English. Barely had, I mean, I just thought, why do you have to study for English? We know how to speak. We know how to talk. So why do I have to study? Obviously, I did because I made C's and D's. I made straight A's in math. I didn't study that either. But anyway, let's not go there. But the point is this. 1 times 1,000 is 1,000. But 0 times 1,000 is zero. So if you don't know that there is something inside of you greater, 0 times that amount is 0. But if you know 1 times 10 is 10. And then you go, oh, wow, 10. Then 10 times 10 is 100. And it multiplies. God's into multiplication. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. He's into, why is that? Because there is a greatness inside of every believer. There is greatness in. Potential needs to be. I just felt like we need to waken up the potential that's inside of us. We have to awaken that. It's in us. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 15 and 16, the children of Israel are backed up against the Red Sea. They're surrounded with the whole Egyptian, the greatest army on the planet, the Egyptian army, Pharaoh and all of his mighty army, they're surrounded, backed them up against the Red Sea. So the children of Israel are crying out. And Moses declares and proclaims in Exodus 14, God's going to make a way for us. The Egyptians you see, you will see no more. There must have been something happened from that time that he said that till verse 15. Because God says this in verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? So I have a feeling that Moses proclaims the greatness of God to the children of Israel. And then when he turns around in the natural, he's just spoke about the supernatural, but his eyes are looking to the Red Sea. His eyes are looking to the army, and he goes, oh, God. We need some help. God, you got to save us now. And so God just says, why do you cry to me? I have a feeling that God says that more to the church today than anything else. Why are you crying to me? He sits there and he says, this is old of Israel to go. But lift up your rod. In other words, what can I do? This is all you're going to have to do. I mean, we can't just walk across this Red Sea, can we? How can we just do that? He says, you tell them to listen to me. Why are you crying out to me? He says, lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the Red Sea, over the sea, and divide it. You are going to do this, and you are going to divide the sea. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Why are you crying out to me? You're sick in your body. Why are you crying out to God? Your finances are hurting. You don't think, God, I need you to provide this. God, would you give me this? God, I need you to provide. God, would you? God, I'm going to tell you, If you listen real carefully, you're going to hear, why are you crying out to me? Deuteronomy 8 says that he gives us power to get wealth. Where's the power? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, behold, I will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the power that is in us. You could even say this, according to the potential that is in you. Where is the potential? It's in you. And God says, listen, you have potential in you, but whatever your brain has trouble getting, wrapping around that, he says, don't worry, I'll do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. So if you can ask and think, man, God, I just believe that, you know, I need $20,000 for a down payment for a house. I need to get a new car. I need this or whatever it is. You say, God, I know that you have met all of my needs. This is where you come into play. You believe and speak what you need to happen. You have to speak it out. And then you have to get determined, because a lot of times, you know, you're believing for something to happen and your car break down. To get you to get off. The enemy wants you to just be discouraged long enough to where you're not going to stand on the word continually. Where you won't keep standing. When you've done all to stand, you and something happens, he wants you to sit down and take it easy. Take a load off your feet. Don't keep standing on the word. This is time to, you know what, this is life. You just got to let it go. No, that's the time you get up and you go, round number 6, I'm ready to stand. Amen. Round, and the bell dings. I'm here, devil. Where are you? Because I'm standing. Round number 7, round number 10. How many rounds should you go? Until you see the victory manifested. Until you see it manifested. He says, why are you yelling at me? You do something. What are you going to do? Everything, I've given you the power to raise up that rod. You know, you can't take a stick or a rod and raise it up and cause, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been to the reservoir before. I've lifted up sticks and thrown sticks and nothing parted. Nothing parted. So what's the deal? It's not just the magic that's in the stick or the rod. It's the word of God that's spoken to you that you act upon. He said, there's power. This is what's going to happen. You're going to raise your rod and it's going to divide. You are going to see it divide. But if you do what I say, the power that I'm telling you about will be manifested. It's the same for you and me. But in the New Testament, he says, I have given you power. Now you respond and act upon the power that I've given you. And it's a continual thing to do it and do it and do it and do it. Hope means that I believe the future will be better than the present and I have the power to make it so. That's a really strong non-religious statement. Hope, I'm hoping in God. I'm hoping that, no, hope means that I believe the future will be better than the present and I have the power in me to make it so. I have the power to make it so. So we got to get off of the emotional roller coaster. And let me just say this. You better not let your emotions dictate to you. All of us have been down that route where you just let your emotions get you on this roller coaster and you say, hey, this ride's free. Just buckle up. And it will go up and down on the roller coaster. Melody and I, years ago, I don't know where we were at some theme park. We were just married not too long. I know we weren't married very long. But anyway, I had a baseball cap on. And we got on this roller coaster. And right as it took off, we were going down, you know, one of those slopes, you know, my hat blew off. And it blew down in the seat, and I went, oh, man. And I leaned all the way over, you know, I'm smashing my gut, and I'm getting a hold of my hat. And the centrifugal force of that roller coaster would not let me back up. Melody's going, it wasn't that funny. I mean, I felt like I couldn't breathe that bar, you know, because I was all the way on. I'm not losing my hat. I'm not letting it go. And I got it. but I couldn't get back up. And Melody goes, she was patting me on the back like, you okay down there? But that's what your emotions want to do to you. They want to get you down to where, okay, you're so far down on this road that the centrifugal force of your journey is going to keep you down. Ow. But this is the thing. You can speak to those emotions, and you are in control. I know people says, well, you know, there's chemical imbalance. I understand that. I believe that. But I believe there's power in the by the believer. You know, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, and I'm not saying don't get off your drugs. There's some people I've met, and I'm thinking you should go back on your drugs. But anyway, I'm just kidding. A little bit. But anyway, because if you're not going to speak to your emotions, you better do something. If you're not going to take control, you better do something. All right? Are you hearing me? But you have the power to make a difference in your physical body, in your thinking, in your life. Psalms 91:1 says this, when you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of yourself? No, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. Shaddai, the Hebrew word, the root word with many, it's got many expressive meanings. You can look it up. This is what it says. You know, if you click on, there's a little letter in the Passion Translation. If you click on Shaddai, it says this. It says, God of the mountain, Shaddai. This is what it means. God of the mountain, God, the destroyer of enemies. God, the self-sufficient one. God, the nurturer of babies. Oh, you're just a baby. God can nurture you. God, the Almighty. There's a clip. You know, I've listened to this guy a few times. His name's Graham Cook, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to tell you what he's saying, but I thought, you know what? He can probably say this a lot better than me. So it's just a 59-second clip. But listen very carefully to the words that he says. All right? Listen very carefully to the words he says.
So the fascinating thing about the word of the Lord is it depends on his character, not yours. Depends on his nature, not yours. Depends on who he is, not who you are. And the fact that we can come and find a place of shelter in who God is, we can hide under the shadow of his wing, and that counts for everything with him. It's not about you being brilliant. It's about him being amazing. And you will not become brilliant because you get your act together. You will become brilliant when you realize how amazing he is and how he never changes and how he includes you in him.
Did you hear that? It's not about you, because I've let the enemy do that to me. Man, I just got to get my act better. I just got to get my act together better. Or I just need to be, you know, you hang around some people that are highly intelligent, and then you go, and then there's me. You know, you hear people say, I'm not the sharpest knife, or I'm one French fry short of a Happy Meal, whatever, you know, you can fill in a blank. But you hear all these things, and you just think, dear Lord, man, I'm telling you, it's just, I need something. But this is the thing that what he's saying is our focus should not be on us. It should be on God. If you listen to me, you will miss your potential. You will miss your potential if you continually are looking at yourself. The Bible says this. He who compares himself with others is unwise. He who does comparison. Listen, you can't even compare yourself to yourself. Some of you went, wait, what? Don't compare yourself. You know, Mike, you know, you used to do that. And man, I tell you, Mike. No. It has to be about him. God can take what he placed inside of you and multiply it. if you look to him. The Bible says this, you have to abide in him. He who abides under the shadow of the Almighty. In John chapter 15, he who abides him, did you know? When you are abiding the branch into the main trunk of the tree, you know, if you're abiding, there is a rest that comes for that branch to produce fruit that it has does not have to depend upon its own energy, strength, or anything else. If you're connected, if the branch is connected to an apple tree, apples are going to come. There's potential for apples to come forth. If you're connected to a peach tree, you know, it's, peaches are coming. Whatever you're connected to, it comes. This is why it says, if you are connected, if you're born again, you are connected to Jesus. But this is what happens, is that we have a disconnect in our thinking, in our mentality, and think that we have to do something else. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you don't. This is not a time to get lazy. Now, okay, I don't have to do anything. I'm just saying you understand that God has put grace on the inside of you to produce the potential that he has placed inside of you. There just have to be, you know, I give this illustration. I love the illustration of Chuck Yeager breaking the sound barrier. When he broke it, before he broke it, it looked like his plane. He said he felt like his plane was going to come apart. It was shaking and it was just terrible. Nobody ever done it. Nobody knew what would happen. Nobody knew what would happen if you break the, maybe your plane would explode. Nobody knew. But he just, when he got to 99.something%, he just pushed the throttle just a little bit more. He had to get past the fear factor. You have to get that determined. If you can live from paycheck to paycheck, you will. If you can live with that pain, you will. And you know what? God gives us free choice. He'll let you. He'll put people in front of you. You'll hear sermons like this, and you'll to entice you, to bring you out of that. But if you are determined to live like that, you will. I've come to the conclusion in 2014 that I was not going to live paycheck to paycheck. You have to get just as determined about healing, about finances, about your life. You have to get determined. And this is what, let me read you a quote that he said. Let me find it. Chuck Yeager said, later I realized that the mission had to end in a letdown, because the real barrier wasn't in the sky, but in our knowledge and experience of supersonic flight. The real barrier was not in the sky, what he was trying to break. He said there felt like a wall that they had to break through. He goes, no, that wasn't the real problem. He said the main problem was knowledge and experience of supersonic flight, what it took to do that. What does it take to get out of your financial breakthrough? What does it take to you get out of your healing that you've lived with this pain for so long? What does it take? It's not something that you think it's too hard to get a hold of. No, he says it was between our two ears. It was between our two ears. One of the greatest things that you and I can do is to renew our mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says you have to renew your mind. You have to. And I know you all have heard this scripture, but listen to me. There has to become a revelation to your brain, not only to your spirit, but there has to be something inside you that says, you know what? I believe that I will walk in health. I believe that I will walk in prosperity. I will believe. And you say, well, prosperity is, you know what? There's not a definition to prosperity in the Bible. You know why? It's up to you what you defined it as. It's up to you. And I know a lot of people get turned off on talking about money. But there's more scriptures on money than in prayer, and because God knew we would have a problem with it. And listen to me, I know there's ministers that have taken this to the ditch, you know, saying things, crazy things, and so it turns people off when it comes to money. But I know the two areas, if the devil can keep you, if he can keep you sick and broke, what and how can your potential be released? So don't let bad teaching cause you not to turn off if I start talking about prospering. I just know there's a lot of people that I want to help. The Lord spoke this to me a few years ago. He said, Mike, there's some people that will never prosper. And they're my kids. I'll never forget this because it choked me up. If you got kids, you understand this. He said, there's some of my kids that will never get a hold of prosperity and they will struggle. And he said, I want people to have the mentality that they can abundantly prosper and they will help my kids that are struggling. So don't tell, you're too late if you're saying that God doesn't want you to prosper. It's too late. You're too late. There's some people that struggle in our church. I'm not saying that, you know, you stay here long enough, you'll get it. But my point is there's people that have been turned off or they've heard wrong teaching and they say, no, that's really not for me. And they struggle. They struggle. And God says, Mike, I want to raise up people to help my kids. To help my kids. I don't know about you, but I say, God, I'll be one of those. And you don't have to rely upon your job, upon your Social Security check. You do not have to rely upon that and say, this is all I got. If you believe that, then that's all you got. Are you hearing me? But if you believe there's a greater potential within me, Paul's got great testimonies how God has given him job after job. He would get let go of one job and they gave him another job and he made more money. He says, God prospers me to be a blessing. He supports, their family supports. I didn't ask for permission, but it's too late. I'm on my way. But anyway, to tell his testimony that, you know, and Paul Lures and Catherine, there's many people, Dan, there's many people in this church that God prospers. God wants his church to prosper, to be a blessing. So listen, if you're struggling financially, there's no condemnation. I'm just saying there is an ability inside of you that's greater than what you have known about. It just is going to take a little bit of tenacity for you to awaken what is already been given to you. There is greatness. There is the ability to prosper inside of you. There is the ability to walk in health. There is an ability. Just be like Chuck Yeager. Do this. I'm just going to give it just a little bit. This is what he's saying. It's just, I'm going to believe God just a little bit more than just living paycheck to paycheck. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to push the throttle a little bit further and say, I'm going to believe God for an extra $100 a week. You know, don't believe God for $1 million. You've been struggling to live in paycheck to paycheck. You're going to believe God for $1 million? I don't think so. What can you believe for? Maybe 100, maybe 200, maybe $500 extra a month. Start putting it, God, I'm going to believe this. And if it doesn't happen, there's another month coming. Believe God. Get stirred up and believe God. Don't let society and circumstances dictate to you how your life is going to be on this planet. God is bigger than that. He's bigger than your paycheck. He's bigger than your employer. He's bigger than your Social Security. He's bigger than that. You need to tap into the greatness that's in you. It's called potential. And God says, my church hasn't even scratched the surface when it comes to that. Dear Lord. So God says, Moses, quit your whining. Stretch forth your hand and open up the Red Sea yourself. So I'm here to tell you, I'm going to slap you upside the head. Stop whining. Stretch forth what's inside of you and say, I will prosper. I will walk in health. I will have the potential release. What is inside of me, I release it in Jesus' name. Ephesians 3:20. God is doing exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that is in us. The power that is in us. There's power within you. It's power to walk in health. It's power to set the captives free. There's power to work in victory. It's power to prosper. There's power within us. And I'm preaching to myself. Because I do know this. Once you get up above the a little bit, you go, okay. And the Lord goes, really? You're okay with that? You okay with that? Because there's a lot more. If you've ever gone up to Pikes Peak, the driving up Pikes Peak, you know, the first time I went up there years and years ago, I remember, oh, man, there's the, that looks like that's the peak. And you go around the curve, and that's not the peak. You thought, dear Lord, and you keep driving up. You go, oh, there it is. And you get up and around that, and nope, there's another higher one. And you think, does this go to heaven or what, man? It just kept getting another higher peak, another higher peak. There's so many mountain ranges. When you go, we like to hike in the mountains, and it's like that. You get up on one, and you go, oh, wow, here we are at the top. You get to the top. There's the top. You get to the top, and you go, that's not the top. I'm telling you, God is saying to you and to me, you're not at the top. There's always another higher peak. And this is what God wants you to know. I'm going to read one more scripture, and then we'll close. Philippians 1:6. This is the Amplified Version. It says, I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue into the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion. What does he mean? There's grace inside of you to get you up to the next peak. There's grace inside of you to get you up to a higher peak. But whatever peak that you settle for, that's where you'll dwell. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to me. God will let you settle. He will let you settle. But you got to be like Joshua and Caleb. Caleb sat there and said, when they conquered, went into the Holy Land, Caleb, they were dividing up the land. Caleb says, I want this mountain right here. He's 80 years old. 80. I'm not saying he's old, but to take a mountain, that would be a challenge. He says, I want this mountain. Joshua said, Caleb, it's yours, but let me say something. All of the enemy has not been defeated on that mountain. There's still some enemy left on that mountain. Caleb goes, I'm well able. I understand. I'll take that mountain. Give me this mountain. It's yours. He got it. He could say, oh, there's going to be some struggles and opposition. Yeah. Okay, I'll just live down here on the plain. Matter of fact, I'll go to the valley. There's definitely no enemy or any resistance down there. But Caleb would sit there and goes, I'll take the mountain. Woo! The Old Testament's written for our example. You can be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 and go, I'm going up higher. I'm going up higher. I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to settle. God is the God of increase. He shall increase you more and more, you and your children. If you settle, you will settle. Let's stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Father, I just believe in Jesus' name. When it comes to our health, when it comes to our finances, when it comes to our marriages, when it comes to our relationships, that we won't just settle and say, well, you know, we'll just get by. You are not a just get by God. You are a God that inspires 80-year-olds. Give me this mountain. You are the God who inspires a 100-year-old and say you can have a child. You are the God that says to people like Moses, you can set the captives free. There's power able. We're well able. Every obstacle, there's grace to go over it, around it, or through it. We have grace. May we see the grace. May we not look at our own intellect, our own abilities, but we will look to you and we will look inside of us. The power that is in us, the potential that is in us to be awakened and released to walk in our high places. I believe that, Father, in Jesus' name. Ed and Janet, you know, you two need to get determined to get together every day, morning, noon, or night, or sometime get together and just start being bold about money. Being bold about it. I mean, being like slap you upside the head crazy bold about it. Faith. Faith is released when you start speaking your words, start speaking to the mountain and say things that you want. I know you're selling guitars up in the north or whatever. Just start saying that, but don't limit it to just those two stores. I mean, we can get so tunnel vision when we, even when we start getting things happen, you can start getting, you know, tunnel vision like that. God says, you know what? Just let down the tunnel and look what I've got for you. Look what I've got for you. Look what I've got for you. This is what God said to Abraham. I want you to look to the north, and I want you to look to the south. And I want to look to the east. And I want you to look to the west. Can you do that, Abraham? He said, yes. Everywhere that you see, I've given it to you. Wow. That's potential. He just couldn't give that up, though. He got the word from God. Now, it was up to Abraham to lay hold of that word. It was up to him. It's up to you and me to lay hold of the promises of God. They're free, they're given, they're yes and amen. It's not just up to your intellect. It's up to you. I am not going to quit. I'm going to keep believing what God said to me. Father, make it so with each and every one of us. Make it so, make it so, make it so. In Jesus' name, amen.